Welcome to Awake versus Aware, which is a presentation that aims to break the illusions of current events, offer tangible solutions, and prompts the listener to keep their hand off the mind break.
Welcome to the Awake versus Aware presentation, taped on October 30th, 2025, Devil's Night no less, day before Halloween. We're talking about The Devil's Mass, this 1970s documentary called Satanis, if I'm saying that right. Got it from the Odyssey.com. It's like a YouTube, but similar to Rumble, Brighteon. And the channel is called Levian Satanism, which it's that to me that's a redundancy. There's only one instituted official Satanism. To me, that's the Church of Satan, which is what this documentary is about. Any others is like came after, and then it is more of like a inverted Christianity or devil worship, which isn't what the COS is about. If you got to at least hear the first hour, I mean, a lot of it. Or some of it was in the ritual chamber, so you'd have to see the visual and just go to that channel and you could see the it's about 90 minutes. And we got Kayla's here, the co-host. How are you, sir?
Very good, very good.
Yeah, there's the Odyssey channel is a small channel. They have several interviews, and I was looking around. I think they also have the Speak of the Devil documentary from the 90s, and was looking around for material, not necessarily Halloween related, but I'll get into the backstory, but something related to the change of seasons, getting into a more darker time. You know, we're approaching the longest night, which is probably, I think it's like December, late December. And shorter days, and we're all feeling all sorts of energy shifts more than usual this week for me particularly. But I picked this one because, as opposed to Speak of the Devil, and there's I think Into the Devil's Den, which they interview the COS's hierarchy membership. And I picked this one because it showed more of the ritual aspects, so you can be inside the ritual chamber. And you got to hear the founders, what do you call it? I like it when it was at its, I mean, not prime, but when it had the media spectacle. This was a phase in the organization of, I guess, exposure. There was different phases throughout the decades, and this one's about out in the media doing interviews, and so you can be part of that electricity, the life force that was there. As a kid, I mean, that's where I first found out about this. Sixth grade, I think it was, as a kid, because I was questioning religion a lot, and because I'm a growing up Catholic, I wanted it to be real and true, and I wanted like the secret teachings and as far in as you can get, as far as, you know, the creator of the universe and Jesus and all that stuff. And as he said, like, that he does these things and so we can too. And then as I looked more, and then parents and authority figures didn't have the answers, and it was more of a masking and a cover. And it's like, okay, these guys are, my intuition and instinct was just, this isn't, you know, they're not getting to the bottom of things. And looking at the way the higher authority figures, Vatican, and these people in authority, you had these chalices of gold and these extravagant places. And then while most of the world is, a lot of the world was, you know, poverty, all kinds of, you know, bad things. And then you preach this whole thing of love and giving to the poor and whatever, but they live lavishly. It's like, okay, this isn't, if this is how the people in in the white light, quote unquote white magic, if this is how they put themselves out into the world, I want to know what's the exact opposite of at least what's publicly shared. And when you put the name Church and Satan together, obviously that's going to have a shock aspect. And so it drew me in as far as why would you put something quote unquote, because the US and the West is mainly a Christian civilization. And why would you put something like that out in front? And it was more of a filter, a stratification, which is a term the church uses a lot in terms of what they call it. Stratification is water seeking its own level, as in how people process information, where their life force awarenesses and consciousness level is at, is how they'll come to understand what this is about. And most people fail the test because, and we've known, especially these last several years, that what's put out by institutes, authorities, centralization, what do you call it, authorities, the truth is usually the opposite. And my biggest focus the last several years has been on health. It's been for the last, quarter century, but it's this whole inversion thing. If you go the exact opposite of what is popular and what's put out there for the most part, and that's where the truth is at least from the consistent results I've been able to get. And meanwhile, this church here, of the adversary, they've been talking about this since the 60s because people can't get past the S word. And like what the founder was saying, this isn't about all of this shock stuff that the Christian version of Satanism, which is super popular nowadays, and people who get into conspiracy and research, they do themselves a disservice. I like what Chris Knowles said, but calling it Satanism is like telling somebody they're a conspiracy theorist. I mean, you're just showing yourself to be dull and unintelligible and just having no awareness. It's like a scapegoat, and that's exactly what the church was talking about for these decades. When you go further into these, the quote unquote elites, powers that were, and the ritualizations that they put out there, whether through pop stars, through sports games, the Olympics, these rituals, they have an origination, but it's not quote unquote Satanism or black magic. It's a lot deeper than that. Chris Knowles totally has expanded on that for many years. People can look up his interviews. In terms like Mithras was a big one, and these other deities that they would uphold. So calling it just Satanism based on, popularized by Christianity, you're not going to get anywhere with that. Kalis, let me turn it over to you, and then I could get more into why I chose this and that it isn't just based because it's close to Halloween, but yeah, let me just turn it over to you.
Sure. I mean, I got involved with this stuff for primarily similar reasons as you did. It was I was lucky in the sense that I was raised in a household that wasn't overtly religious. I had a quite a mixture of Judaic and Catholic. My mother was a Northern Irish Catholic, and my father was was Jewish, and so we didn't really. I mean, religion wasn't a cornerstone of morality as far as my upbringing was. So there was a lot of room to work with for myself. And I stumbled upon Anton LaVey probably around the same time you did, sixth, seventh grade. And it for me the appeal to it was very, very, it was very easy to digest. It wasn't something that was difficult to grasp. These were things I think as far as our consciousness was concerned, was something that was inherently already something we already understood. It was just kind of a sort of bringing it out and making it available. So for me, it was a simple process. And looking back now, from where I'm sitting now, it's a definitely, for me, I think it was a very important process, but it wasn't the end all be all. And certainly there are some aspects to Satanism that are bedrock. You know, it's a good foundation, but it the sort of I don't even know how to put this, the I know you mentioned the the Christian version of Satan, and this, the popular perception of it being just an inverse of that. I think that there's, psychologically speaking, a lot of that is probably correct, even with the Church of Satan, and a lot of that philosophy, I think, is something of an inverse. I think that was kind of intended to be the point, at least initially. And unfortunately, I'm not very active in the organization at all. I haven't been a part of that for a couple of decades now, so I couldn't begin to tell you what's going on there, besides from what I see, on social media and stuff like that. So I'm pretty ignorant there. So a lot of my input regarding a lot of this is probably outdated and maybe not very useful. But like you said, I found it very early on, and I found it to be worthwhile as an initial step. And so I thought that a lot of the tenets regarding the philosophy hold true, but it's not an end all be all. It's just a step, I think.
Yeah, and that's what lures in the people to it initially, is that mystique, the power of mystery. And definitely like, I got all of the founders' books, and then philosophically heavy, and but there were ritual aspects. For me personally, I didn't find the need to have to go by the book in a quote unquote ritual. I knew instinctively that if you distill it down further, you have like, you have the blessing, you have the curse, and then I think there was one on lust, so like at least three primary. And I knew it was just a directionalizing of energy, of life force and emotion. And it's just interesting where, yeah, I didn't have to do the by the book thing. And then when I went about to basically sending intention, and that's all it was, and then things would come about as they would. So I would take the basic frame of what they were offering. And then other places do this too. Like I mentioned, the other mental technologies I apply, law of attraction, matrix energetics, quantum touch, similar approach, because it's all emotional directionalizing, and which anybody can do. And it's just a matter of becoming conscious, aware of the process, when to back off, and when it shows up. Let me see what else. There were a lot of, let me see, the highlights as far as the actual clip. One at around the 33-minute mark, he was talking about the carnal being the most important part of man, that, and he was saying true transcendentalism rises above man's inventions in the way of spiritual and soul guidance, and to recognize your baser instincts. And there's this idea that, God, the creator, created everything. So if everything is of God, so is the devil, as is everything else. As in, there can be a form of spiritual materialism because it's all God essence anyway. So that's an interesting argument, or what do you call it, perspective. And because the thing with these white light religions and even white magic, the right hand path, as they call it, there's good and bad things with it. And one of them is like what the founder was saying, the denial of these earthly pleasures. And to me, that's just another test and form of stratification. another one he talked
Yes,
about was,
absolutely. That's a perfect one of the things that the philosophy brought to me was these concepts of natural stratification and hierarchy. And there were certain evident truths that were that I discovered and began to start to apply. And again, this is where the sort of transcendence into a bigger understanding of the world around us sort of took hold. And one of the fascinating things for me with the religion was the concept of ego, and I worship my ego, and et cetera, and et cetera. And I've always found that to be a very interesting point of discussion, because so many, just from my observations, and this is just me again, I haven't been a part of this for a long, long time. And so just where I live, a lot of people are, or some strange variation of it. They take that to an extreme. And then this is just an example, but I've always found over the years, at least, especially as I've grown and gotten a little older, the ego is something to be somewhat tempered. Indulging is one thing. And I know the popular term is indulgence, not compulsion. But from my experience, it's a very, very fine line, and this is just one example. And so my experience with dealing with folks, that are involved with this religion or some somewhat variation of it, they don't seem to have a firm grasp on what that entails, especially with, the ego and how to curb it and how to use it to your advantage. There's so many interesting fine lines regarding what LaVey brought up in this philosophy and how to apply it. And so it's something I've always found getting involved with this type of stuff, getting involved with especially with Satanism, was something of an intelligence test. And I've again, this is just a later realization for me. It's not something that I initially figured out when I got into it. Being young, experience is your best teacher. So over the years, I've begun to understand that this is very much an intelligence test. And so it's I wonder if that hasn't been lost on those that adhere to it. So yeah, it was just a curious observation I had.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, yeah, I was my story with it is very much similar to yours. I picked it up around sixth, seventh grade, I think, and I was lucky in the sense that my environment was more curtailing to it. I did not have a very religious upbringing. My family didn't tie in morality to religion directly most of the time. If they did, it was through metaphor or something like that. So stumbling across Anton LaVey was for me very I remember the first time I read the Satanic Bible, and I was kind of like, wow, this is it was such a departure. It was so radical. It was a very new thing in my upper, even in the 90s. So I had an environment that sort of fostered these ideals already. And so as I got older and as I got more into it over the years, and I began to notice, certain fundamental elements to the religion were, like stratification and hierarchy and stuff like that was very self-evident and very apparent. And so I began to starting to apply those what's the word I'm looking for? I began to apply those very fundamental aspects to that religion to my daily life with pretty good success early on. And now I'll just fast forward. Now I'm very much I haven't been involved with the Church of Satan or that philosophy really for a good 15 years at least. I haven't really found a whole lot of use for it personally. And I think that's a part of the growth process individually. And I've seen the foundation's always the same. It hasn't changed. It's a good foundational philosophy, I think, for those that want to understand, the baser instincts of our humanity. And understanding, what makes us tick, and as well as, certain aspects of the ego, and how to curb those, and how to enjoy things without being overcome by them, and stuff like that. So that's kind of where I'm at now, but I haven't been involved with the Church of Satan. I haven't been, I don't really reference Anton LaVey a whole lot anymore, to be honest. It's something I've kind of, I wouldn't say grown out of, basically, because it's the foundational thing. It's a thing that's part of the bedrock. So it's always there, but for me, I've just kind of moved on past it and begun to explore other things.
Yeah, I for me, I still refer to some of the because the foundational stuff is acknowledging man as an animal, and Western civilization is all about deleting and eliminating that whole part to make you an obedient robot. And the founder's writings have always emphasized that, even because he was a counter to the counterculture that happened in the 60s, and now we know that this whole thing of the drugs and the hippie thing and a lot of that, even the Manson thing, was by alphabet agencies. And no surprise, considering all of these experiments, like you follow Jay Dyer, all of these experiments they have going towards MK Ultra, and now those files are opening up. I mean, we know that Michael Aquino did have a big part in the hierarchy of the church, and then eventually did Temple of Set. Some of his stuff is interesting because it went on the psychological warfare, the mind war stuff. So I took interest in that, even in the left-hand path versions of Eastern spiritual philosophies, like what is the the left-hand path versions of those. So that was an interesting excursion into, and I think like Stephen Flowers has some good books too. So it's in terms of what's practically useful for me. And once you get past the S word, and it's just interesting how most people can. And I think nowadays it's even more. I don't want to say satanic panic like in the 80s, but it's its own version now. And so anything, because you have the right wing overemphasis now, and now we see their hypocrisies in human nature. I mean, like, but anybody has a good and bad side, but when you have them in groups, and you have money involved and power, then human nature is going to take over, obviously. And that's where the founder goes back to man being a social animal. Honoring your animal instincts, then you can see through people. And he always asks, who's to gain from what's happening? And that's why in our other shows, you have the different kinds of warfare scenarios, meta war, sixth gen, fifth gen warfare, because what is this theater, this pageantry being set out for us? I mean, a big part of the church's thing was psychodrama. You set up the ritual, the ceremony, so that you can communicate with the unconscious and make manifest whatever it is you want, as far as like a better job or whatever, going after somebody. other highlights in the hour clip is the thing of the ritual of sacrifice. And I know media and Hollywood has a big influence in people's programming. And that's why he was talking about this thing of a blood sacrifice of killing another being that is innocent rather than expelling out your own biological electricity that he's talking about. The true blasphemy is killing an innocent animal, he was saying, and rather than using your own power. And like we have a shaman who does a group here and does a weekly show with Nancy. What would she say? That we're basically gods and bods. And that's, again, a big cornerstone of the church. I'm like, you have that power in you, and like, you can use it. And he gives you tools for that. One of the cool things in YouTube is they took the founder's voice and had him read the Satanic Bible and the Satanic Witch. I thought that was a pretty cool idea. It came close, but not like the 70s documentary. Another highlight, let me see. Oh, the again with the S word is that the Satan simply means a word the adversary, the opposition, and the dissenter, the accuser. It doesn't necessarily mean evil, brutal, and cruelty, which again, people are projecting what's in them out to you're basically telling us like where where somebody's mindset is at rather than the subject itself. So it tells more about the person than the organization. I think that's all
Correct.
the
Yeah,
highlights.
I was. That goes back to the concept of, responsibility to the responsible, and a lot of it's very easy, especially if we're conditioned to basically act out of our base animal instincts, to curtail the responsible part. Everybody wants the responsibility, but very few want to actually be responsible, and so. We see a lot of that. I think it was Boyd Rice who touched on, the concepts of, freedom and democracy and having a society full of, freedoms being basically just a blank slate and a big excuse for people to be irresponsible. And so that was a big one for me, especially as I got older and I began to notice, just how things were shifting societally. I began to see a lot of these occult types completely just negate any sense of personal responsibility towards anything. It was very, very, things became too loose, so to speak. So that's a big aspect of it for me is yeah, if you want the responsibility, you have to be responsible. So yeah, that's a, to me, that's a huge one, I think, as far as the individual goes. And again, there's other ways to build upon the philosophy to get there. And so there comes a point to where celebrating your base animal instincts, that's one thing, but to do so in a responsible manner, that's a whole other question entirely. And so these questions, they branch out to, responsible to whom exactly, and so on and so on. And so not to get too far into those weeds, I just that's a very important aspect of it that I wish, those that engage with this philosophy seek to understand for themselves and their role within it.
Yeah, as a kid, I got all of the founders' books and the higher members. I got as many of their books as I could, read everything in turn, because it was to me more about personal self-discovery and these different tools that were recommended, hypnosis, I mean, not so much theater, but theater of the mind, and that the true ritual chamber is between your ears. They even had a message board forum. A lot of it is like intellectually heavy, and the founder did emphasize of not rolling crap into little balls. This over intellectualizing, and that's where it seemed especially the message board, official message board they had at the time. There was some good approaches by their hierarchy who had written books and talking about certain things you weren't supposed to, but not to the point of conspiracy theory, but to question and seeing the deeper side of things. Like Jacques Vallée was a an early supporter of the church, and it was in terms of I think the psychological aspect of it, and exploring the mysteries, because Vallée's books, and he was on Ro Joe Rogan like maybe like a year ago or something, really good. But that there's more to life than what's being told to us. And for a while, I did run a podcast under the church. It was mainly interviewing other, not members per se. There were a couple, but it was because one of the big cornerstones in the church is creativity. And what can you do out in the real world to gain success? And not change lives per se, but you have an effect in the real world. And so I interviewed, I think, two or three musicians and then other people who wanted to explore further into consciousness. So my big thing, at least in that podcast, and I hope to bring it here if it's even worth playing, because the emphasis was on like shamanism, dreaming and life extension, and creativity. Those were the themes of the podcast. I even tried to look for it online. I think they were taken down because people are always reformatting and old, taking old stuff out. But yeah, as far as me not growing out of it, but okay, so that I used my limitation with it was I think the life extension angle, which I think they were all for, because it's all about, I mean, part of the big thing is about power and health and going into the far reaches of anything, any kind of subject, and questioning the authority. That was always the big one, challenging it if it can garner new discoveries. I mean, that's what the symbol of Satan was to, at least in the church's perspective, is the pioneering spirit, which everybody has, and that's where the emphasis of creativity. And my limit, at least with the church hit, was in exploring life extension, longevity, even on the fringes of immortality and what that entails. So obviously nowadays the popularity of transhumanism and how, oh, we're going to live forever through robots and technocracy and all this stuff, which maybe there's something there, because I go into the conspiracy theory stuff and the stuff that's speculation, like Dr. Joseph Farrell says, a high octane speculation of like the secret space program, the super soldier program, and do we have colonies out in Mars and in different planets? And okay, that's nice and fanciful, but how can we make that useful to everyday life and practical? So you go into the, for me, the memberships of like Catherine Fitz and Dr. Farrell, when they explore these things and how are they useful in creating the framework of what they call Mr. Global or globalism, the internationalists that you don't see that are in the background that are pulling the strings, if you as you were. I mean, you have these front men, Gates, Elon Musk, and the popular names, but these are front people so that they're a form of distraction. The real ones, the bloodlines that are running the world. And we know this because of these concentrations in Switzerland and in London. I mean, you do your research enough in even the Vatican and the Jesuits, the power that they have. I mean, you want to talk about real devil worship and the Christian version of Satanism. You follow Kevin Annett. He has books on this stuff of the Ninth Circle and what these to get in these positions of power, of the highest power, is unspeakable, like what they have to do to get to these things, and he has the documentations for these. Kevin Annett is with two N's, I think, and the two T's. Yeah, so all these fantasies of like child sacrifice and drinking the blood of babies, you're gonna find that in the Vatican, like of their highest order. It's called the Ninth Circle. It's there. So I was, my instinct was
As well
right.
as Judaism, as well as Judaism as well.
Yeah. It's like, again, with this inversion thing, it's like they put themselves up as the authoritarian figures of white light. And I sent you that clip. I forget what Rumble channel it was, but you go through enough of Kevin Annett's stuff. There's a section in the Vatican where it predates Constantine, and they called it like Lucifer's throne or something, like a gate to hell. It's like, okay, maybe I could try to remote view or go there, like out of body or something, and maybe not. I don't know.
Well,
Again,
that's the fascinating that's the fascinating thing about all of this mythology is, especially when it comes to concepts like inversion. And again, the Anton LaVey kind of brought that out a little bit for me as to how some of this stuff works, because Anton LaVey himself was a showman. And when he was talking about, all religion is show business, basically, that was 100% true. I began to see things sort of in that light. All forms of our economy are it's all show business, everything. And so anything that wants to make a dollar is show business. And religion, including the COS, I don't think is an exception. It's all, it's all just part of the reality of it. And so when it comes to the mythological inversion of, some of this stuff, especially with the papacy and Rome And I know not to get too far into those weeds, but I know Francis Leader is one that gets into the black nobility and some of the darker aspects of these royal families and their ties to the Catholicism and Christianity is very, very interesting to me. And to me, there's a base understanding for me that kind of is like, okay, well, I can see that because you have this sort of, inversion. And so if you zoom out, like for me, a big thing for me was when I started studying archaeology and ancient civilizations and some of the bedrocks for some of these myths, especially the some of the pagan traditions that formulated Christianity, early Christianity, was absolutely fascinating to me. And so I would not hesitate for a moment to think for that a lot of these pagan roots are still celebrated by the church. In fact, they might be the cornerstones of that hierarchy. So absolutely, I think that's, it sounds conspiratorial, but I think if you zoom out enough and you research enough and you spend enough years looking into some of this stuff, you might see, oh my goodness, there's something to it. So definitely, it's a fascinating aspect of things for sure.
Yeah, and that's what I credit the positive aspects of technology and AI. You sent me a clip of the using AI to reinterpret things of the past. I thought that was a really cool clip, and eventually probably might do a show on that. But
Yeah, I mean, basically that to me piqued my interest just for the mythology sake of it. The AI, the video itself was AI generated, and we know that AI will lie to you. So, this to me it seemed, there were a couple of, not to get too far into it, but it was fascinating to me as far as the mythology was concerned and how the AI was interacting with it. And so, as far as the more sensationalist stuff regarding the substance of the video, regarding the AI going rogue and the doctor's disappearance and all that. Like I don't that to me just seemed like, pretty insane storytelling. And so those aspects of it were kind of like, nah, it too much resembled QAnon and it too much resembled, the sort of obvious media misdirect. It seemed like they were kind of showing us this, and I think other news networks picked it up. I remember seeing a link to Fox News ran with that story as well. So there's a reason they want you to think that, the AI has become, it's learned enough to, give us warnings, regarding our past and where we're headed and all this stuff. It just seems very sensationalist. But the mythology aspect I thought was incredible. Because a lot of the, I would say, the dichotomy between, what in the West we deem as good and evil regarding God and Satan and all that, can you can find similar dichotomies in ancient history, and Sumer is one, the Mayans are another. You have the good gods, you have the bad gods, and so if you take the time to sit back and actually connect some of those dots. It's you kind of start to see the bedrock of the early Christian churches and some of these pagan traditions are just carryovers from what these ancient civilizations were saying. So that was the kind of the crux of why I sent you that, and it was it was just a kind of a timely reminder as to the origins of all this, and maybe not so much as to where it's headed, but just so much for the origins. Like that's pretty much. It's always good to go back to the source. So that's what I got out of that.
Yeah, people just type in Sumerian tablets and then AI, the YouTube clip should show up. I mean, in terms of the my because with the church being a foundation, they were just tools of how to directionalize that pioneering spirit. Like, what is it, the Promethean flame? And so for me, it was going into history in the past that you weren't supposed to know. Kind of thing, and in any field now, and health was always a big one for me. I don't know why, for the longest time, even as a kid, like I've had this intense push to go into health as much as I can. Not necessarily, I mean, I did work in a hospital, but it was the independent alternative approaches. And when you find out the real history of modern medicine and how the Flexner Report and how all of these other therapies were wiped out, I mean, every field pretty much has that. There's a similarity of religion too, of the might makes right thing, and like what the founder said of it doesn't matter if whether the person is right or wrong, but if they had the power, then that's what made them right. And that's pretty much how history and life has ran. You know, you work in a
I like
corporation.
Boyd Rice's take on it, where he said that the strong may rule the weak, but the clever rule the strong. That's not always an accurate representation, I think, but it's common enough these days, especially in the information war we find ourselves in, and as well as economics and stuff like that. So, being the strong one, having the brute strength, and being the warlord chieftain is, again, not an end all be all to reality. So, yeah, that was a very, sort of an evolution of the LeVayan take.
Yeah, and there is a, I mean, you look up the word might in that doesn't necessarily just mean strength and power and brute force. I mean, being clever is another form of might as also. Like outs how they say work smart, not hard, in outsmarting the enemy, the art of war. And now that we're in the fifth and sixth gen warfare of things, of redirecting the populace energy of these distractions. Main theme in the radio station, it's you need as many useful tools, not many, but the qualitative tools that work in any arena, in any field, would have, it has a universal applicability. And that's to me what's important as far as doing these shows and what's useful about whatever subject that we cover. And
The main takeaway for me, with that religion was to be skeptical. And so, like I said, when LeVay had mentioned that everything is show business, I think he means it. And I'm not entirely sure he meant that sort of skepticism to be directed towards himself. And so I don't think the organization was either, because a lot's come out, regarding Anton LaVey, and again, there's enough for people to be skeptical of. And so it's for me, it's always a matter of, like, who's saying this and why, and what do they have to gain from it. And that was another good quote that Anton LaVey echoed quite a bit, was who gains, from this interaction, who gains from this effort. And so I always try to look at that. And so when it comes to anybody that's presented to us, in the media, or like you were talking about alternative health, physics, I view them with extreme skepticism, because understanding that certain, like, especially with YouTube stuff, this is just an example, it's a heavily centralized media platform that only allows certain things when certain things are being amplified and discussed. I'm always very skeptical of the person presenting them, as well as the platform itself. And so that's just one example. I'm very, very skeptical with those that are put in front of us. The COVID scam, the COVID fraud, the people in on alternative health, I'm quite skeptical of them. And are they controlled opposition? Are they just trying to control a certain narrative? Are they trying to guide people to a similar end? It's not called the same thing. The fact that they're raising objections, is enough for some people. I would say maybe a lot of people to want to trust them, but that basis alone only goes so far with me. Okay, opposition's one thing, but is this is are the recommendations you're leading us towards, is that actually, going to help? And so again, I'm very, very skeptical. Almost, maybe, especially with sixth generation, seventh generation warfare, I'm very skeptical, and maybe to my own detriment sometimes. I can totally see that. But Yeah, that was one of the biggest takeaways when it came to Anton LaVey and the Church of Satan was, everything's show business. Everything is intended to turn a dollar. So, for the most part, we can only we have to be skeptical about others' altruistic motives. So that was my big thing.
Yeah, the person you mentioned, Boyd Rice, used to be in the hierarchy. I think he was a magister, and then the top is like magus. I mean, you go into their official website and they explain the different levels. I have met not some of the top hierarchy. I mean, they're all nice people. Met one at a social event recently, as in like a year or two ago. Pretty much one of the top brass, and she was amazing, super nice. Got into discussions just like what the founder was talking about, similar topics of psychology and what's useful, and yeah, the old world stuff, because things are just so everybody has the memory of a goldfish now, and half that, right? And loss of the dopamine and brain chemicals are fried because of not being in nature. And I've always talked about nature's hidden laws, and a lot of these anxiety issues and this and that is because of the artificial light. And to repro not reprogram but reset yourself, it's the with the grounding, the sunlight. I mean, I need to do this too, like more than most people, just because of my body type and skin type. But yeah, and that's what it is about, is tradition. That was the emphasis of the old world and the magic that was in that people created. And humor is actually a big part of the church too, as far as like tools in the tool belt. Yeah, so I think definitely brought me to where I am today as far as what's most useful and universally applicable to most people. Like, for example, we had Karen McDonald on a week or two ago, and I was the guinea pig in the test subject. And, I've had that Genius Biofeedback app for a long time and didn't know what it could do. And so somebody close to me had a heart attack and was set to be in the hospital for 2 weeks. I cut that in half using the app, right? Doing what the Spooky 2, what the BCX can do, but it's in my phone. Like, I take these life extension supplements of regeneration, turn them into frequencies, and then send it to the person's picture. And then, and this just happened like several weeks ago, or like, a couple of weeks ago, a few weeks ago, that the heart attack happened, and I was able to cut in half him being in the hospital, and he's home now. Hard to believe, but I've been in this whole thing of non-local consciousness and quote unquote magic, mental technologies. They're just laws of nature, and the deeper you go, it's like the more you find it. It's like a muscle too. You have to keep yourself maintained. And that's what it's always been about for me, is like delving into the mysteries, the discovery, and sharing tools that people can use that are optimal and most benefit with least bad effects. And all of the church's material is public, and I still have all of the books. And to me, the tools and recommendations are just as useful because it's all based on human nature, on the social animal. And that doesn't go away. In fact, it's more advantageous now to use them because people have dulled themselves because of technological dependence. And I'm part of that group too, because that entails my job and running this presentation and doing research. So we're always in front of the black mirror, right? Its own satanic ritual. Kalis, did you want to say anything else?
Yeah, no, as far I'm really glad to hear that person's out of the hospital and you got them out a little earlier. That's fantastic. I hope they're on a speedy road to recovery. And that last bit you mentioned is very important. The concept, to take the philosophy as you're just a base animal and you have to adhere to your instincts and give in to desires and to celebrate the desires and stuff like that, I think is a good first step in understanding just how we operate at the conscious level, at the instinctual level as well. And but we can take that a step further. And I think that understanding, how you interact with these emotional understandings about who you are is critical. And so I urge, again, it's a good first step, I think, to understanding, how you operate in the world and, how you're sort of intended to operate in the world. But I've always had a feeling that there's a way to take it a step further and to sort of refine your interaction with, things like desire and as well as, the intellect is very important. These are important philosophical undertakings to do. So it's again, it's a great first step, I think. And I might, I might ruffle some feathers with some of our listeners. It's, to me, it's not so much as far as, when it comes to the personal growth and journey of someone, it's not an end all be all. I don't think that's in my opinion, I don't see it as being necessarily a good thing. There's ways to expand upon this and to intellectually and emotionally grow. And a lot of this stuff, it does return, as you get more advanced and you get further along with that undertaking, you might find yourself reverting, you might instinctually go, oh wow, this is, I already knew this, and that'll be thanks to Anton LaVey. But it does tend to return to itself. But there are ways to evolve this philosophy. There are ways to grow as an individual and to sort of transcend a lot of the limitations that Anton LaVey even, maybe indirectly spoke of. So always a good reminder, always good to remember that there's, there's ways forward. Having a good solid base and foundation is critical, but there are ways forward. We don't have to stay where we're at. So that's kind of my big thing with the philosophy.
Yeah, and that's the material that I want the awake and aware theme to be, as far as exploring the cutting edges and talking to people of exploring those things. But always having that, like what you're talking about, doubt, skepticism, and they have all of their bases covered. Oh yeah. So, because I came to collect as much as I could as a kid, with the church stuff, the different essays, if there are newsletters, and
Yeah, you're the archivist, essentially. I remember you basically gave me I remember, what was it like? Geesh, almost 20 years ago or so. You gave me some very, very old out of print publications of I forgot what it was called, the precursor to the Black Flame. So yeah, no, he means it when he says it. He's something of an archivist.
yeah, and that goes for other kinds of mental technologies too. Like the recent one was with Matrix Energetics of the founder passing, and actually visited a podcast several months ago, The Cosmic Soup, and same thing. I try to get everything I can, and we're pretty much there. Matrix Energetics, everything I can, and even the things that are out of print that YouTube deleted, or like you can't get because you got to make these connections and. This is a piece of history as far as holographic technology and consciousness technology. I mean, and people are of course welcome to check that out. His Matrix Energetics books are public, and we do a weekly Zoom on Sunday for any kind of healing that you want. And they have their own kind of social media thing there. It's small, but I mean the weekly Zoom healing is pretty consistent, and has been successful as far as. the workings there. So it's a good springboard, you know, this thing with the with Dr. LeVay's approach. But the point why I brought that up is he has enough of his, like, over the years of getting his essays through eBay and various other places, that he has enough essays out there that haven't been publicly published, as far as, you know, besides the newsletters, that another book could be made. There is one, Letters to the Devil, where he was like in a newspaper column asking or giving people advice on certain things, like magical witchery stuff or whatever. That was kind of cool. So I think we could pretty much close up here and know that, yeah, this is the kind of exploration I'm wanting for this and the other shows. And as long as Nancy gives the okay, and she's pretty much on board with us as far as the exploration and discovery of things out there, and as long as it's grounded, you know, that's my thing of balancing the two worlds. Yeah, I guess we could close it up there. Candace, did you have anything else to say?
No, I just wanted to wish everyone a happy Halloween and to enjoy those energy shifts and explore them and try to understand, you know, exactly what's happening to you and why. And we could talk about this, you know, we could talk about this subject for hours and hours and hours. And it's too bad we're limited today. But yeah, no, thanks for everyone. Thanks everyone for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Yeah, there's never a shortage on the dark side of human nature and the mysteries that are out there. And that's what we'll keep delving into. Thanks, everybody. We'll catch you at the next one. Take care.
You have been listening to Awake versus Aware, a production of CosmicReality.com. Thank you for listening.